All right, Acts chapter 21. Last week, we jumped ahead a little bit as we were taking a look at the journey Paul is on. Paul is actually making a rapid journey through these communities on his way back to Jerusalem because he wants to get there in time. I know I just quickly went through that. That's simply up for reference. He wants to get there in time for one of the great holidays or time of gatherings in Jerusalem because he has been collecting an offering for the Jewish Christians who were having difficulty. And that offering was taken up by the Gentile churches in order to demonstrate to them there was unity in the church, there was a purpose, and we were all one in Christ Jesus. And so Paul has a fantastic burden on his heart to get there and to make the offering known. So he doesn't take a lot of time with brethren he'd been with for 3 years in Ephesus. Other brethren he met with, he would move quickly along. But we spent time last week, and we jumped forward to Acts 22, if you recall, because the reason Paul could go through everything he went through was because of the passion, the calling, and the purpose that God had burned into his spirit. And that was identified in Acts chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Acts 22, 14 and 15, just to refer to those scriptures again, say this, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Then he said, "The God of our fathers," and this is Paul reflecting his calling to other people as he talked about his purpose. "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you," Paul, "should know his will. And secondly, see the just one. And thirdly, hear the voice of his mouth." Now, how many of you believe that is simply and strictly only, therefore, the calling of Paul? No, it's our calling, isn't it? We talked about seeing him, knowing him, hearing him, loving the Lord, and that passion for Jesus, that intimate personal relationship, is what drives us forward no matter what the pain is. Whether Mary's going through difficulty, or you've got PET scans of your own to go through, or difficulties, or whatever it might be through. As we go through life, we go through continuing on with the Lord because we love him. We've seen him, we know him, we want him. How many in this room want Jesus intimately more than ever before? You want to know him better today than you knew him before. Jesus is the reason we do what we do. So Paul was called to know his will, to see the just one, to hear his voice, and then verse 15 is the outflow of those things. "For you will be his witness to all men," say the phrase with me please, "of what you have seen and heard." Then it's not hard to share with others. How many love to evangelize other people that don't know Jesus? Let me see a show of hands. Okay, I got 3-4 people. How many find that a bit fearful at times? Oh man, I stumble over my words, not sure what to do. You know, they're going to hit me. The beauty is, evangelism is explained right here. All you have to do is share what you have seen and heard. What have you experienced from Jesus? Forgiveness? Mercy? Deliverance? What do you experience in church? Joy? Funny pastor, sometimes, if he hits the right joke? We get to learn. We get to grow. We get to be the family of God together. I had somebody say to me this week, "This is a church where I feel the love of Jesus." You feel love when you walk in this room. What you need to simply reach out to people with is what you have seen and heard. How many understand there's people all around this region that need Jesus? Come on, let me see your show of hands. Do you know that people need Jesus? People are going through a Christless eternity without him. There are people in Port Townsend and in Port Hadlock and Port Gamble and in Chimicum, and there are people in Squim and there are people in Port Angeles. How many of you understand in L.A. people drive an hour one way to go to church? Amen. And it's hard around here to get them to wake up in the Admiralties and come across the parking lot. I would like to get us a church bell. Ding, ding, ding. What's that? Come on, just invite you to church. Yeah. There are people up on this north side, families with kids, and there are people all around this region that need Jesus. Our commitment is to do what? To just live and let live and pass off the scene. Is that our commitment? Our commitment is to bring his kingdom where? On earth as it is in heaven. To see people come to Jesus, to know this Jesus. But how many of you understand the call of the cross is more than us coming to the cross for forgiveness, but it's instead, it is the cross coming to us to embrace Him and walk with Him day by day. This walk is more than forgiveness. That's a wonderful thing. Anybody like being forgiven? Forgiven, deliverance, hope, life, joy, all of that. But it's more than just coming to the cross. It's the cross coming to you. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. There's a popular message. People will rally to that one. Hey, we probably have more people here quickly if I could get on television and tell people how to get rich by becoming a Christian. If I promise them health, wealth, prosperity, no more problems in your life, I'd be a liar, but you might have more people sitting around you. How many understand that it's not just health, wealth, prosperity, and riches? How many like that when it comes? How many wish it would just go ahead and test me with it? Okay. You know, the credibility is sorely lacking, I suppose, when Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, says, it's really a bother. I'm not sure. Okay, just share a few $100 million with me. I'll take it off your hands. Test me with it, Lord. Yeah, I'm sure he's right. I've had people who are rich say to me, that's a real bother. And I'm just thinking all the time, oh, I feel so sorry for you. You know, and I could even say it nobly. Think of what I could do for the kingdom of God with all that money. I could bless the kingdom with a new yacht. I could bless the kingdom with a Harley. But it's not just us coming to the cross. Church, it's the cross coming to us. The title of the morning's message, we're in part 62 of Acts Alive. The title of the message is Love Commits. Love commits. Strength, power, passion, life, sold out commitment that embraces the cost. You can look at me all you want and all day long and say, but I'm too old, and I'll say, you're never too old. It doesn't matter how old or young we are in the congregation. What matters is, what's the passion that burns in your soul to do the will of God? What do you see God doing in your life? Why are you doing what you're doing? How many of you have neighbors? Or do you live all by yourself on planet Earth? I should see every hand go up. I have neighbors. I believe in neighbors. Most of the time. How many of you have neighbors that need Jesus? How many know that you've got people who are looking for a real deal? The real deal. Are you just a church word? Or are you just a Christian in word? And you live on your own all week long, turn your back on Him? Doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't even enter your thoughts. Or are you the real deal so people can get some hope in life? Okay. You want me to be really honest with you? You know how we used to believe in this country, don't you? About marriage? You no good of the goodies if you don't give me the ring. Right? Yeah. Oh, you're so quiet. Don't look at me so religious. I won't be real religious with you this morning. Isn't that the way we used to look at it in this country? Love causes commitment. And love gets the whole meal deal if you're committed. You don't get the goodies if you don't give me the ring. But you know something? There are a lot of people who try to mess around getting the goodies from God without making the full commitment. I want, in fact, Lord, I even demand you to give me the answer to my prayer. I want your blessing. In fact, I really like the fruit. Now, don't push me. Don't ask me for too much. Don't bug me with too much conviction. Why don't you spread a little more joy in those messages? I'll try to find somewhere where I can. That's why I have to tell you jokes ahead of time, because these aren't all happy messages. but what's the claims of Christ? It's not just us coming to the cross. It's the cross coming to us. The world is waiting to see if there are people who really believe. I had somebody this morning not very happy with me, not here in this room, not very happy with me, because I had to send them an offer on their property, But I wasn't going to be around to follow up. Nope. Not until 1 o'clock. And the phrase was, oh, well, you go do that church deal. My answer was, yep. And you don't own me. I didn't say that to him. Happy to serve you at 1. Because you don't own me. Jesus owns me. A lot of people all around think that every weekend is for sport in Port Ludlow. And a lot of people can sport all day long until they die and go to hell. And I'm saying, let us stop you from that. And they think we're saying, let me stop you from having fun. We have fun in church, don't we? Look at each other. Say, you're funny. Look, church, it's real. It's real. We got souls at stake. We got life at stake. We got a church to build. You know, let me tell you some honest stuff, okay? Anybody can come to church anytime they want. You want me to be real honest with you? Come on, you want me to be real honest? Anybody can come to church as much as they want. As much as they want, anybody's welcome. Happy to have you. Look at each other again and say, you're funny. We're all funny. But I'm looking for people who want to build the kingdom of God on earth and join me in the mission that God has given us. There are people in Quilcene to reach, and people in Brennan to reach, and people in this region to reach, people who need Jesus Christ, and people who need a living church. If you just want to play church, you can do it any host of places. I tell you, if people can drive for an hour each way, you go to church in L.A., people can come across the bridge and come to church. But they got to know there's a place that wants the real deal. Are we spreading the news? Keep spreading the news. Are we? Hey, I go to church in a great place. Come with me. Let me tell you something else. I'm looking for people who want to be sold out the whole route. I don't care what your age is. Sold out to Jesus Christ. What do I see? I see a church that's vibrant, alive, and growing. I see home groups in people's houses all throughout these communities. I don't see just a little church. I see a church on the Olympic Peninsula that wants to raise up the glory of God, that wants to raise up a banner and let people gather so they know that Jesus Christ is Lord. I see a place for the fullness of the Holy Ghost, not just a little speaking in tongues every now and then, a little nice little chorus. I see a place where God moves, and the Spirit moves, and healing moves, and deliverance takes place, and people find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, is that the kind of church you want, church? Don't tell me, put me in ministry if you don't want anything to do with the kind of love, commitment. You don't want to give, you don't want to serve, you don't want to contribute. Come to church all you want. But if you want to be in ministry, that ain't going to get you there. I'm looking for people who want to be on the same page and say, come on, Pastor Kev, let's do what God's called us to do. And it's more serious than just playing church on Sunday morning. It's more serious than getting up, playing church, and going out to eat till you go home with a full tummy and wake up the next morning feeling a little heavier than you did the day before. I do that plenty. It's okay. What are we doing this for? You can do whatever you want. But you wanted the goodies? Show me the ring. You want the ministry? Show me your commitment. We got a thing called building your faith. Not even all of you in the room have been through building your faith. Get through building your faith and let you become a home care leader. Have a church in your own home. If I know you're on the same heartbeating page. If you're in it, finish it. If you're in it, finish it. Don't be guides for somebody else or coaches for somebody else, because God's going to bring a bunch of people, don't you know? Or else why would we be playing around with a building in which we have 30 people sitting here this morning? We don't need this for 30 people. But if God's getting ready to do something serious, then we want to be in the right place at the right time, getting ready for the overflow. Hey, why not Saturday night church, Sunday morning church, Saturday afternoon church? Why not Thursday afternoon church? People getting healed, coming up the street, knocking on the door saying, is this where I can come to find life? Yeah. What's your vision? Don't ask me for ministry if you don't want to do the goodies and buy the ring. Anybody's welcome. Okay? Please understand it. Anybody's welcome. We have a fun time at church. But if you see the vision and you want to be part of the team, then jump in. Amen? Look at each other and say, you're funny. Jump in. Look, guys, I've been awake. I've been awake by the Holy Spirit for quite a long time. And I really believe God's pretty disgusted with church playing. And I'm not accusing anybody here. I'm just saying in general, the Church of America has become an anemic, pablum-filled, positive little messagette for Christianettes. And I'm saying, wait a minute, what is the Church of Jesus Christ supposed to be? What is it supposed to be on the Olympic Peninsula? We got every sorts of wild religion taking place across the peninsula, Port Townsend and all through the region, and they need people to stand up and say, whoa, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I see home groups of people who come to church here all through Port Townsend. Hadlock, on a Tallis Shores Drive. Gamble. I see a church reaching out to every single part of this area. But it's going to take people who want to put their shoulder to the wheel. And I see a bunch of them that do. But I'm saying, look, where are we going? What are we doing? What are we doing? Love. Commit. You look at me and say, Pastor Kev, I'm retired. Leave me alone. Okay. I'm not bugging you. Well, maybe I am. That's okay. Let the Holy Spirit do it. But it doesn't matter if you're retired. It doesn't matter if you're Mary sitting getting chemotherapy. She can testify the good news of Jesus to the person sitting next to her. So we pray that Mary comes to that. You see what I mean? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're out cleaning houses, Leslie, and there's somebody there. You know, I went into a house the other day, and it was just delightful. I was getting a listing, and we were in there working. Next thing I know, Leslie bounds down the hallway. I know him. He's my pastor. I got us involved in a little conversation with those folks. But see, there's that kind of radiant thing that it's real. I want to ask you a question this morning. What owns your soul? Don't tell me what you would like to have own your soul. I want you to answer before God what really owns your soul. If you give to it, bow to it, live for it, and it changes your life, and it ain't Jesus in church, then something is called an idol in your life. Doesn't mean you can't have other things in your life, but if it owns your soul, own up to it. If that's how you want to live, your choice. But if you wanted the goodies from God, you gotta buy the ring. I want God to bail me out. I just don't want all the goodies. Well, no, I'll say it different. I want God to bail me out. I want all the goodies. I just don't want the ring. That's the way America lives, isn't it? Come on, baby. You know I love you. I'll marry you someday. Get out of my life. You ain't a god of the ring. You don't get the goodies. America has lost its way because America has lost commitment. And the body of Christ has thrown commitment away. You know, let me tell you, he's ranting and raving this morning. Yeah, he is. But I believe the Holy Spirit has something to say if we will listen. What church do you see? Just a little social club? I don't. I see an Olympic Peninsula that can radiantly worship Jesus Christ and is alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I see people being sent out around the world as missionaries. I see people going out in apostolic realms and ministering in other churches and bringing life and vibrancy. I see a passionate, alive Christianity, so not some anemic, pale thing where people say, you play all week long and come to church for an hour and then you feel better about your life. That's not Christianity. Doesn't mean you can't play this during the week. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean you can't have faith. But what owns you? What are you giving to? What are you giving your soul to? And if it's not Jesus and his church, then it's become an idol. And sometimes, I'm not declaring every time, sometimes then don't wonder why you have problems in your life. And you don't always get it a goodies. Because you ain't a wearing the ring. Was all that in that little verse? On the next day, we who were Paul's companions, verses 8 through 14, departed and came to Caesarea, and they entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Verse 9. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. A sad statement in America is you probably couldn't find too many households like that nowadays, could you? Say amen, Pastor Kev. As we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this belt. Deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." There's one more verse, but I'm stuck on this one. "Also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." I'm going to tell you something, church. If I sold myself out to selling real estate and showed up here and didn't care about preaching and nourishing the souls of God's people, you might as well throw me away. That's living for my comfort zone. I will not sell my soul to somebody who wants me to go sell them real estate on Sunday morning. I don't even post hours for my business on Sunday morning. I cannot prevent a realtor in my office from selling on Sunday morning if he or she wants to. That's their business. But I refuse to post hours on Sunday morning for my business because it's God's business first and foremost, and there's not a single person that I'm going to sell my soul for. I don't care if it's a $4 million house or a bundle of them. Church, if it's worth walking, it's worth doing. If it's worth talking, it's worth living. If this thing called Christianity is worth it, then it's worth being committed to. If we want the goodies, we're going to buy the ring. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Paul is passionate, pursuing God and his purposes. God did not say prophetically to Paul, "You're missing it. You're doing the wrong thing. Don't go." That's not what was said to Paul. What was said to Paul was simply an illumination, and a true one at that, of what was going to happen to this man so committed to Jesus when he gets to Jerusalem. Thank God. How many are appreciative when God lets you know, or you just have an inkling in the Spirit, what's going to take place? Doesn't mean it's not going to take place. You know, you've got to go and do the thing. But you just know when you know her, and it's been a gift from God that you got to prepare for it. So too with the Apostle Paul. All right, Paul comes to Caesarea. We are about the business of learning from the text in addition to preaching. Okay. Herod constructed wonderful buildings in Caesarea. It's a great place to go. You still see the aqueducts, some of them, because they had water aqueducts all the way from Mount Carmel all the way down to the seashore. Man, it's a beautiful place. We were there on a bright sunny day. You were there. I know Marilyn, maybe some of the others of you have been there. It's great. And they got some of the aqueducts left. Herod came into this place, and he literally, you remember Herod the Great was a fantastic builder. Herod's temple and all of those things. Well, in Caesarea, he constructed a great amphitheater, a huge water aqueduct. He put up an entire set of homes and barracks for mariners on the sea. And in 10 to 12 years, he radically changed the face of Caesarea. And in fact, there were up to 250,000 people who lived in the seaport town at one point. And the interesting thing about Caesarea, it was not naturally given, nor is that harbor area naturally given to being a harbor. And he actually had them, he took something like 20 by 19 by 8 solid rock, solid rock. And he put them down 20 fathoms deep and built them up and made a very safe harbor for Caesarea. I did not explain that well. Go to your history books or your encyclopedias. You can find out a little bit more. But it's pretty cool what they did. I mean, the guy was a great builder, a crazy, deranged man who needed Jesus Christ, but he was a great builder. You ever take a look at some of the buildings built in America and around the world, and the person's not saved, but it can still be a genius gifted by God, whether they acknowledge him or not. Herod was a fantastic builder. So Herod ruled the land of Israel from 37 to 4 BC. and this project, Caesarea, was built. And you read about, this is actually where Peter came to lead the centurion to Christ, was at Caesarea. Paul came through Caesarea a few times. And in fact, when Paul was arrested, he spent 2 years at Caesarea. So there's a lot that goes on. This is an important city. And in fact, Rome had their headquarters here, much more than in Jerusalem, in the heyday of this city. All right, who does he run into? Where does he go? Where does he stay? Remember Philip the evangelist. Philip the evangelist, who had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. Now the text may indeed simply mean they were 4 underage to be married yet girls. But here's the cool thing. All right, let's just make one point from it. Philip the evangelist, he is one of the 7 who's ministering to the people. Remember when the revival came and they needed to pick for themselves deacons to minister to the people? Philip the evangelist is one of them. Remember Philip the evangelist who goes out and leads the eunuch to Christ. He finds himself on a road to a city, and he comes up to a man in a chariot reading from Isaiah, and the man doesn't know what the text is. Philip leads him to Christ. And then once he leads him to Christ and baptizes the guy, the Spirit catches him away, and he goes over to Assos, and he is preaching, and he's got a great ministry before the Lord. Now some 20 years goes by. And the next we find, here's Philip, obviously a married man, and here's the point I wanted to make. The anointing of Jesus, this man had the real deal. He got it a goodies because he bought it a ring. And he's got 4 daughters prophesying. This man has a home full of the life, the anointing, and the presence of Jesus Christ, and he is still trucking on, ministering to God, a lover of Jesus and a passionate soul for the Lord. So much so that Paul, on his way by, stays at his home. He's got 4 daughters that are prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord is in that home. All right, so this is that same Philip, the evangelist. Then Agabus comes. Now, who is Agabus? Agabus was a New Testament prophet. Probably Agabus was one of the 70. Remember in the text of your scriptures where Jesus had his 70 that he sent out to do ministry? You all remember that? Okay, Agabus was probably one of those. He was a disciple of Christ, and he had come where Paul and Barnabas were ministering, and he is the one, by the Spirit of the Lord, who prophesied that there would be a great famine over the Christians. It was Agabus who prophesied that. So then Paul, what? Takes up his offerings to minister to these Christians. It was Agabus' prophecy in the Lord that brought that prophetic word. Many years later, this same Agabus meets Paul at Caesarea, and he's the same man anointed by God. The whole point is, Philip, Agabus, it was a long-distance run. Church, when you give your life to Jesus and you fully commit to him, we thought things were going to be wrapped up quickly. We thought when all the planets lined up in 1982, we were all out of here. Then we thought in 1988 there were 88 reasons why we were all out of here. You know, Pastor Sherry, you said before, Jesus had it good. He only had a 3.5-year ministry. We're here 35 years later continuing to try to know the Lord. Don't you wish it was all easy? Come on. Is it always easy walking with the Lord? I said, is it always easy walking with the Lord? Now turn to each other again and say, you're funny. But the neat thing is, these guys who were so used wonderfully of the Lord continued on with the Lord, continued in the anointing. Church, no matter where we go, when we meet up again someday, if you leave or whatever may happen, if I don't see you for another 20 years, I pray to God we're 20 years deeper and richer in the things of the Spirit and in our walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. A long distance run. A faithful man who spoke the truth. Now, we all have opportunity to respond to truth in the same way Paul did. Paul had a calling, a passionate pursuit, something to do that God had given him. God just told him a rough road lay ahead. Rough roads lay ahead of some of us, and we all have opportunity to respond to truth. Cut and run, or keep going. I don't like tough times any more than you do. That's why we build a church. That's why the church is a family. Because hopefully we're not all going through the same rough time, the same time, at the same day. Right? It's like in marriage. You know, look at your spouse. Go ahead, look at your spouse, those of you who are married in the room. Now, what I want to tell you is, as you're looking at that spouse, aren't you glad both of you are not totally down on the same time, at the same day? Because if you were, who'd lift you back up? Aren't you glad? Okay, you look at me and go, yeah, we're both down. You need prayer. Come for prayer. Hey, look, church, it's real stuff. But those of you who aren't married, that's what the church is for. Because sometimes you do both get down as a couple. Sometimes as singles, we get down. So we come into the church and we open our souls. We ask for prayer. People discern. People lay hands on us, pray for us, hug us, love us, encourage us. You get a shout and preach up there and goes, go for it, go for it. And you go encouraged. Right? And you go built up on the Lord, ready to go for it for another week. Midweek, we get together Thursday night. What are you seeing from the scripture? What are you getting? What are you hearing? And we try our best to share each other's burdens so we can encourage each other midweek. How many like a booster shot? I got my polio vaccines a long time ago, but every now and then you need a booster. Every now and then we need a booster in the Lord. It's the real deal. But Paul embraces the word of the Lord. Truth has been spoken to his heart, and he doesn't run from it. Willing to embrace the cross. Are you willing to embrace the cross, but unwilling to let the way of the cross embrace you? It's not just a walk for salvation. It's a walk with Jesus every day. How many remember there was a man who wrestled with God until the breaking of the day? An angel of the Lord. And finally, remember what happened? That angel reached out and touched him. And what happened? His walk was changed from then on through eternity. That man walked with a limp forever. And it's a story to tell us that when you truly meet with God, your walk is changed and you're a marked man or woman forever. If meeting Jesus doesn't change your walk, then you didn't grab the wedding ring. And you ain't going to get all of the goodies. This walk is changed forever. Church, if we get this building, it's going to cost. It's going to take people standing shoulder to shoulder, putting their money where their mouth is, and saying, we're in this together, let's build the church. It's going to take service. People working hard out there, outside, in the sunshine and in the rain. Just like delivering mail, we're always here to mow the lawn. It's going to take work. It does take work. It takes us putting our shoulders together, buying into the vision, saying, I'm a part. And I don't just serve, I give. I contribute. It's my life. It's my heart. It's not just for a building. It's for the building of the kingdom of God. I buy into that vision. Love commits. One thing to accept Jesus as payment for our sins on the cross. It's an entirely separate thing to understand, and that's free gift. But it's an entirely separate understanding to know that it's going to cost me my life as I surrender everything to Him. How many of you understand that when you embrace that, you get the good end of the deal? You give Him your bad, He gets, and you get His good, right? Come on, don't be religious with me. You give Him your bad, He gets your, you get His good, right? Unless you all think, no, no, I only gave Him good stuff. Then you ain't a real life person. Let me ask you some words. Concession versus conviction. Concession versus conviction. Ease versus embracing. Appease versus conquering and being conquered by Christ. Convenience versus commitment. To whom and to what are you committed? Examine your life today. It's the real deal. It's the real deal. I'm laughing because there's a story of a professor who didn't believe in Jesus one iota. He didn't see anybody really living it. He didn't care about the Lord. He stood up in front of his class and he railed on the gospel and he railed on the church day by day. And finally, one day in front of his class, you may have heard this story, one day in front of his class, he says, "All right, if God is real, within the next 15 minutes, come on and smite me over." Class is stunned. Literally stunned. Just sitting there, nervous. As this professor in all his professorial arrogance says it again. "If God's real, if you're real, knock me over." 15 minutes. 5 minutes goes by. People are just sitting there stunned. They don't know what to do. They're squirming. 10 minutes goes by. And he says it again. "If God, if you're real, I want you to knock me over." You got 5 more minutes. Finally, this former Marine football player gets up and leaves the room. He's just absolutely disgusted. Can't take it anymore. Next thing you know, door opens up. The Marine bursts in the room and knocks this man on his rear end. He goes flying off. His glasses fly off. The desk is shattered. The man's laying on the floor, knocked out. The Marine's just standing there, brushing off his hands. Goes and takes his chair. Professor comes to in a couple of moments, tries, struggles, gets to his feet, looks at this guy, he goes, "What was that all about? What are you doing?" The Marine calmly looks at him and said, "God was busy. He sent me." Church, God's busy, and he's sending you and you. And you and me. If you wanted the goodies, you got to wear the ring. If you want to just hang around, anybody's welcome. But if you want to put your shoulder to the wheel and build the church of Jesus Christ and bring his kingdom on earth and radiate his presence and grow, it takes a full hearted commitment, and I don't care if you're young or old, Jesus and loving him is a two-way street of full-hearted, passionate, sold-out commitment. What do you want? Let's stand. What do you want from this walk with the Lord? We love people. I love people. Anybody's welcome. But I'm talking to the heart of saints this morning. I'm sorry. My voice is still changing, you understand.
Talking to the heart of saints this morning.
What do you want? Look, I wanted the goodies. So I put on the ring. Didn't you? Lord God, you see us this morning as a congregation desiring to do your will. You see us as people this morning saying, "Okay, we commit." Can you say it before the Lord with me? I commit. I commit to you, Jesus. To your ways. To your word. And to your purposes. Church, you know, a few years ago, I really will close pretty soon here. A few years ago, it's a really popular book, Purpose-Driven Life, Purpose-Driven Church. How many of you remember and understand there were churches all over, that did that as Bible studies in their churches? Okay, all the way over. All around the world. And I'm not against that. Okay, not at all. You will find about me as your pastor that I stick pretty much to text and go through the scripture day by day, and I don't ride the crest of the wave on what's popular, what's not. Doesn't mean I'm against the book, but I try to keep us all together moving through the Bible together, okay? The sad thing that happened about that was that it became an event of Christianity rather than a continued lifestyle of Christianity. It was the popular book rather than a changed lifestyle. Church, we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We are part of something fantastic, where Jesus wants to reach people in the entire Olympic Peninsula and the entire region. And he's looking for people who want to stand up and say, I'm committed. Remember, how many of you know the difference between the World War II generation and our era? Dan, I'm looking at you because we know our era. Dan served in Vietnam. Do you know Dan was one of the few to stand up and say, yeah, I'll go? Now, there are a lot of people that did, but the spirit of our age was what I'm getting at. People didn't want to go. Do you know in World War II, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids who couldn't go were clamoring to get in line to go? I'm not saying that's a support of war. I'm talking about a heart response. Well, now what are we talking about? The kingdom of God. And who wants to step up to the plate and say, I'll volunteer. I'm going to go. Send me, Lord. Do it through me. Do it with me. Do it right here in this region. I don't have to go be in the jungles of Africa. Do it right here in Port Ludlow, Port Townsend, and Port wherever. Any old port in the storm, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be what you want me to be. Here I am, Lord. I commit. Use me and send me. Is that your heart cry, church? Let's raise our hands. Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Here I am. Use me. Send me. I love you. I commit to you. Because love commits. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning, you have a physical need in your body, I urge you to come. The Holy Spirit is here to heal you. We've left plenty of room up here for people to be able to respond in this congregation. Come on up. We'll lay hands on you. We'll anoint you with oil, but Jesus will move in your life. Molly, we rejoice with healing. See, God's a healer, isn't he? God's doing it. If you have a need in your life, come on up, and we'll be honored to pray with you. Celebrate his presence today. Come on up, Leslie. Come on up. If you've got a need, come on up and let's pray. All right? God bless you. Be released into a fantastic day in the Lord.